Happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mums. Hopefully you all have breakfast in bed. You all haven't done anything this morning. Relaxed. No? Okay. Well, what an amazing thing it is to be a mum. I don't know because I'm not one. But I can honestly say that I wouldn't be here today without my mum. Keep up. Anyway, no, I do want to just honour mums amongst us, having witnessed some of the efforts and sacrifices that mums in our family have put in over these last few weeks. It's amazing how much care, love and protection mums have for their children, however difficult that might be at times. And it's good to honour them and honour mums with everything that they do and are. And so in that vein, I wanted to look, right at the start of this, at some more deep things about mothers. So if you could put on the first slide. Okay, so that is what it's like to be a mum.
sometimes. Hopefully not, Tim.
No. Some of the time, not all the time. Okay, next one. And the one, just the last one, which is my favourite, this one. Okay. Yeah, it's an amazing being mum. Oh, I ought to say, just a word of warning, I did leave my laptop open at the back with a group of teenagers with it. And so they have edited the slides a bit. So I don't know what might come up. I think hopefully all they've done is they've changed the transitions. They felt that the transitions I had were boring, and so they've sort of elaborated on them a bit. But anyway, so that's fine. So hopefully that will it won't be too distracting. Right. Okay. So can we go on to the next slide? There we go. It's a good transition. That way. So we've been looking at the whole subject in 1 Corinthians 13 and looking at what love really is. And today I want to continue on a similar theme. We're not looking at 1 Corinthians, but we're looking at the way the Bible describes God's love for us in a way that is very similar to a mother's love, and a love that cares and protects. And there are a number of places in the Bible where a mother's love is described for the way that God loves us. And so I just want to quickly look at some of those verses. So the first one to look at is in Matthew, Matthew chapter whatever it is. Go on to the next one. Matthew 23:37. There we go.
So slick.
I've not done this before. So it says there, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you were not willing. And this is just a wonderful picture of God wanting to gather those that really have no concern for him, don't want to be gathered, don't care for him. And yet God's concern is still for them and still loves them. And it's akin to a mother hen wanting to gather them, because they know that they're facing a really difficult time, and without him, they're going to be really struggling. And so he wants to gather them, and I find this a really encouraging verse for those of us who, have maybe children who have aren't currently going on with God, and how God's heart for them, even though they're not wanting to know God at this point, God's heart is so for them, so caring for them, even when they are not not wanting to follow him. And that's so true of us, isn't it? God's heart was for us when we didn't want to follow him and we didn't know him, and he wanted to gather us, and praise God he has. So that was one of them. Now, the next one, Psalm 91, if we can move that on, says there, He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And there's a wonderful picture of a bird covering its chicks with its feathers, keeping them safe and comforted. And the final one is from Isaiah 66 and verse 13. Want to move that one on? You. Great transition. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And so the idea expressed in these verses is very clear. It is not, and I love the way Rochelle brought it, is in the worship, there's no separation between us. God is conveying here something very, very close, that we are under his wing, we are close to him. We are like a mother comforting her child, and of course that picture is clear. It's not a mum that's 6 foot away saying there, everything's all right, is it? I mean you can use words to comfort, but the idea that is being conveyed here is one of a mother comforting a child with a cuddle, with a hug, with a closeness. And that's the point of the illustration, is that it's not a distant love that God has for us. It's an intimate, close one that we can experience. And the wonderful truth is that God has won it for us on the cross. It's not something, and we talk about this a lot, and it's so important, and we probably go on and on about it, but this is not something we earn. It's not something we have to get to. It's not something we have to get ourselves right to receive. It's been given to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He has won it for us, and it is done. And so that experience of the closeness of God, and Joe was talking about this as well, about it being in God's arms, is won for us right now. None of us who know Jesus are excluded. Not because you've done well this week, or done badly, or because you've not spent time in the presence of God, whatever it might be, that we're not excluded from knowing that constant, close, loving Amen. Protection and care of God.
Amen.
And it's important that we have this as a bedrock. Because so often we can go through the week and think, well, I'm not close to God, I don't feel him. And that's because I've just not been a good person this week. Or it's because I don't deserve it this week. Or because, we can bring up so many different things. And yet God is saying, no, I've done all that. Amen. You're never going to be more perfect than you are now because of my son, because of Jesus. He has covered you in righteousness. He has clothed you. He has cleansed you from all sin. And that is for all time. And it's not about our performance during the day. And I know we go on about this, but so often, and I say it as well, because I do it myself, that however often I repeat this, I can go back there and think, well, I don't know this because if only I had done this, or if only I had done that, or if I hadn't done this, I would know the love of God. And it's so easy to fall back into that.
Yeah.
And God wants us to be absolutely clear by these images that he's saying, that you are loved, you are protected, you are cared for. And in Peter he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Amen.
And the other thing about a mother's love is that a mother knows how to comfort her child.
Amen.
Particularly. Now, we've had three children, they're all different. They typically would go to mum if they needed comfort. I mean, we had rough and tumble, we had a great time, we had a great relationship with our kids. But of course, when a child is upset and hurt or whatever, what they generally want is their mum. And their mum would know how specifically to comfort a particular child. And that's what God is like with us. He knows what you're like. He knows you intimately. He doesn't comfort us the same way, everyone the same way, because he knows us individually, and he will comfort and care individually for us. And so going to God and experiencing that is the right of every child of God. And it's important that we have this as a bedrock,
yeah.
A belief, a faith thing, so that we don't go into works. You see, for the child of God, there is a need for action. There is a need for action that comes from faith. And Paul talks about this. Faith works prompted by faith. What we mustn't do is the other way around, where we work to get somewhere. But nevertheless, we do need to believe this as a bedrock, and then from that, there is actions that result. And actually, that's what Jo was talking about, I think, in what she brought. We have a choice. You see, this experience of the love and the care and protection of God is for everybody who is a child of God. It's there by right. And yet we have a choice as we live our lives, how much we experience of that by the way we live. So it's not about earning it. It's not about getting there. It's about believing, having the bedrock, saying, yeah, this is for me, this is mine, God loves me, God cares about me, God is for me individually, and yet, actually, in response to that truth, in response to that, faith rises and says, I am going to live in a certain way to experience that. I am going to live like this, to live under, as that song puts it, the waterfall of God's grace and mercy. And so I just want to just explore that briefly. I haven't got long because I know we've got something else to do. And I want to look at that, really looking back at Psalm 91. So can we go on to Psalm 91? Thank you. So it says there, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. And this is the verse we read. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. See, one of the keys to experiencing this genuine, this experiencing this love of God is found in verse 1. Go on to the next verse slide, guys. Another great transition. Anyway. So, whoever dwells in the shelter of the shadow of the Almighty will rest. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, there is here a wonderful statement of faith. We will know rest as we dwell in his shadow. We will know rest. But there is an action that comes from that, which is, I need to dwell there. Amen. I need to dwell there. It's an exhortation to make reality what God has won for us. It's an exhortation to say, actually, I'm going to choose to dwell in his presence. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to work towards it. I'm not going to earn it, but I am going to choose to dwell there. I'm going to choose that which enables me to live in his presence. Because out of his presence is not a good place to be. As one of the hymn writers put it, oh, what peace we often forfeit. And I think we've quoted this recently. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, prayer is one way of us communing with God. And in fact, in Thessalonians, Paul says, pray continually. And that is, if you like, Paul saying, do you know what? You can continually live in the presence and shelter of God. You can do that. Now, understanding what it means to pray continually isn't, you know, we don't have the luxury, most of us, or any of us really, to live a monastic life where we just go into a room and just sit there all day in the presence of God praying. That's not our life, is it? But praying continually is all about engaging with God at every moment of the day. When you go, one of my favourite times is when I walk from my house to the bus stop, and it's usually early in the morning, and it's just a wonderful time of just engaging with God through the streets. And then when I'm sitting on the train going to work, it's another time where I can just pray. I can choose to read the paper, which I do sometimes. There's nothing wrong with reading the paper. The metro doesn't take long to read the metro, if you've ever had it. But actually, sometimes I think, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to engage with God for this 20 minutes, half an hour. And then when I'm at work, every moment when I go and get a coffee, I try and think, do you know what? I'm just going to, as I walk to the coffee machine, I'm just going to engage with God. And at every moment, there is an opportunity just to be in his presence and experience his love. And we can experience that 24/7 when we sleep, we go up, we wake up and say, today, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, amen. I don't wake up every morning and say that, I have to be honest. But actually, there is an element in which, do you know what, I can engage with God today like this. And there is a way of living that says actually, and it stems from faith that says, I can know and experience the loving care and protection of God day by day. I can live like this. I don't have to strive. I don't have to be living in fear. Because God has won it for me, I am going to live like this. And it's a choice that we can make in the way we occupy our time. I love watching telly. I love watching Detective. That's about all we watch on telly, to be honest. And I think it's a great thing to do. Some of you I know love films, and many of you love your social media and be on that. And there is nothing wrong with it. But what we mustn't allow to happen is that replaces the opportunity to be in the presence of God. Now, amen. It's not either or. It's a case of, actually, is this becoming the thing that I go to when I'm a bit stressed? Is this the thing that I am turning to because I'm struggling? And if it becomes that, it becomes an alternative to the presence of God, an alternative to the experience and the care and perfection of God, then it becomes stops being a benefit, because the Bible says everything is for our good. But sometimes it's not beneficial. And so it's a choice to say, actually, do you know what? I'm not gonna carry on watching telly. I'm just gonna just engage with God for a moment. Now, as Jamie was saying last week, it is possible as we watch things and as we do go about our day, we experience the presence of God. So we can experience the presence of God. Some of the films we watch, some of the TV, some of the stuff, we can really sense the presence of God. God's speaking to us through it, and we can engage with God in that moment, and that's absolutely fine and great. But we are responsible human beings. God has given us free choice, and He's given us wisdom. And so it's a case of saying, God, is this the best thing for me to do now? It might be. Maybe I just need to relax and great. Or maybe actually, no, I just need to just shut this off and just dwell in the presence of God, just in quiet. And so it's those type of things that we can do to engage with what God has already won for us. And that is just knowing Him and being in His presence and finding that rest. But there's one other thing which I just want to just say, and it comes in the next slide, and this for me has been a really important thing over our last two weeks. So if you could move on to the next slide, guys. And this is what David says: I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Hallelujah.
And this is David declaring truth. And that can be so helpful for us in this. Actually, I'm declaring that He is my refuge. I'm declaring He loves me. I'm declaring He is for me. I'm declaring He cares for me. And actually, sometimes when we speak that thing out, it causes faith to rise. It causes faith to rise in us. And there's real power in the way we speak. And actually, I would encourage you to speak it out. And it doesn't matter if your family think you're weird. But actually, to hear it, it's really helpful and really powerful to hear words of truth spoken. And that can cause faith to rise. And say, God does care. Yeah, God is my protector. Yeah, God is for me. He is my refuge. And I am going to rest in that, and I'm going to enjoy that, and I'm going to take comfort in that, knowing that He is here. And I can engage with God and know that for myself. And for us, in these last few weeks, and many of you will know, we've been through a bit of a turbulent few weeks with our children and our grandchildren. Praise God that things are looking much better for them now, and particularly Ezra. And I just want to thank you for your prayers, because I know many of you have been praying. But I also want to thank you for some of the declarations that you've put on WhatsApp.
Amen.
They have been such a comfort to us. Amen. Because when we see God's people declaring truth, and declaring hope, and declaring God's promises and declaring God's goodness. It builds your faith.
Amen.
You can stand on that. And this is what David is doing here. And he's saying, actually, I'm going to speak. And I'm going to say to people, God is good. God
Amen.
Is for you. God is your refuge. And he will be with you in these times.
Amen.
And I want to just say thank you to all of you who have put those things on. Because it was a real comfort and strength to us.
Amen.
Apologies for that.
Amen.
And so David uses that as a means to just stir faith, not only in himself, but then in other people. And just the last set of verses. Go to the next slide. Because he then turns his attention to other people. And he's saying to them, surely, and this is, guess, guys, what you were doing for us. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence.
Mm.
He will cover you with his feathers.
Mm.
And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And see, when you declare that, not only to yourself, but to others, it grows faith.
Mm.
And you can get into that place of, yeah, God is for me. God cares.
Amen.
God will help me. And just our own experience of that is so valuable to us, and it's so good that we have been able to experience that. I'm not saying, I must be honest with you, during those 2 weeks that we've been through, I'm not saying that at every moment we were calm and at rest. There's stuff for us to learn. There were times of quite big concern, but actually having those things to read, having those things supporting us, knowing the goodness of God was such a strength for us and a such a help. But I just want to finish with this. This place of protection and safety that is yours in Jesus through what he's done for the cross isn't simply a place we can hide.
Yes.
It's not about that. It is a place where we can know protection and comfort.
Mm.
But it's also a place from which we spring and grow and are fruitful. And I was just going for a walk yesterday, and I love this time of year. And I'm not sure many of you do, because what's going on in February and March is that the flowers, like the crocuses and the daffodils, are coming up.
Mm.
And they have been in the ground, and they are and they come up just at the time of year when it's cold and damp and wet, and it gives you the promise of spring and summer to come. It's a wonderful thing, and they have been living in a protected place. They have been living in an underground, it's not a place where you would necessarily want to be, but they've been protected from the frost, and they've been there, so that at the right time, they spring forth. Do you want to give the up there? They spring forth into a beautiful array of colour, and it speaks of joy, and it speaks of hope for spring and summer to come. And these are, as it were, illustrating what it's like to be in that place of protection and care, in that refuge. And it's not simply a place just to hide. There is a work going on at the right time. God will our fruit will grow, and we will burst into life because we've been in that place.
Amen.
And it's a place, and we will come from that place giving joy and hope to those around us. And so it's not a place simply to hide away, but it's a place of nurture. A place that we can be catapulted, as it were, from into the world and be fruitful and see the good things of God in other people's lives through ours. So I just wanted to leave that image with you and just to thank God that he has such a care, concern, love for us. And it's something that we can experience day in, day out. And it's a place of growth. It's a place of preparation for what he has for us in the future. So let's just pray. Yeah, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that your care for us is so deep and so kind and so real. Jesus, you want us to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You want us to experience your care. You want us to know it for ourselves, not a theory, but in practice, in reality. And I thank you, Jesus, that by your death for us on the cross, you have brought us into that place where we can know it. And Lord, we want to make our choices so that we live like this day by day.
Yes.
That we may be those that experience it and then are able to declare wonderful truths to other people. Say, yeah, God is good. God is good. He's good for me. He's going to be good for you. And I thank you for those that have done that for us this week. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you are at work always in our lives. And when we stay in your presence and when we dwell there, Lord, we are being protected, yes, but we're being prepared and we're being made ready for all the good things you have for us. So, Lord, we bless you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.